Thank you, Pastor. Hi, Home Church. It's my privilege to be with you within this week, and I hope that my English is not too lousy for you. Just because when I was young, some of the PA OC missionary came to Hong Kong, and they just went to my father and said, "How come your son speak in sign language with hands?" Yeah, okay. But since then, just because I study in Hong Kong, we did not have an environment to speak in English quite often. And I also study in a Chinese school as well as I study in a Chinese university of Hong Kong. So everything is in Chinese. So, wow, so scary for me to speak in English. But, you know, my name is Timothy Tillman, okay? But, well, I just know that it is a Pentecostal church. Hallelujah. You can translate what I speak in tongues into your tongues. So, I am so brave to speak before you. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we are nothing, but you are our everything. So, we just give this time to you and bless us. Make everything be clear. Lord, thank you. Move on us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Actually, I think I can preach well in some topics I choose, but today is quite a challenge for me, giving me this, Peter chapter 2. Okay, I can speak in perfect English within 5 minutes, so fine. Okay, now, let's read the scripture first. Actually, I'm so thankful that Pastor Pat is here. Actually, I just want to ask him to translate for me, but thank you, Janice, for saying that. Just go ahead. Okay, just go ahead. Okay, but can Pastor read the scripture for me?
Sure. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, like newborn babies. Crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 6, for in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." Verse 9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy."
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We receive mercies. Hallelujah. Actually, when we are just talking about the First Peter, we must know about the background of this scripture. Actually, the First Peter is written to those who live in Asia, Western Asia. At that time, the Roman Empire gave them a very severe persecution at that time. Maybe you say, well, we are not in this kind of situation. We are quite well. We live in Canada. Everything's fine. Everything's fine, right? But actually, let's think about it. Are we really live in a fine situation? Can we speak anything we want? Such as if we go especially in Canada, you want to speak with your friend, hey, you are not living in a good lifestyle. You know what I mean? Okay? You are not permitted to speak everything. Or even though you will be caught and you will be, you know, they will sue you, right? Is it you know, something like that? We are living in such kind of situation. Those persecution, you know, just around us. Sometimes you cannot live as a Christian so normally. Especially we have now a multi-culture around us. You cannot pray publicly sometimes. Or maybe in some public school, you cannot do so, right? Sometimes, maybe you didn't see those persecution. But sometimes, actually, something happened around us. So at that time, Peter just want his church to know how to live in a real Christian lifestyle, especially at that kind of situation, such as us. Maybe we come to church, but, well, or maybe you just come to church. You are not a real Christian. Now, sorry to say that. I know that. I was a pastor kid, for my late father already went promoted to the glory last year. I was a pastor kid. I grew up in a, you know, Christian family quite well. I know lots of the things in Bible. I even received my baptism when I was 12. But I was not a newborn Christian after my baptism for so many years. You can come to church, but you can still keep your old life and old living. That's why most of the churches nowadays are so weak, just because you are so weak. I'm sorry to say that. I'm not scolding you. I am also included in the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We should not be so weak. So that's why sometimes we have lots of excuses. Say that, oh, we are weak just because we live in a very bad era, a bad situation. Oh, no. It is hard to be a Christian. Even sometimes we have suffering. But, you know, in this book, Peter just warned his church to live in the power of the Spirit as well as God's presence. So, in the first chapter, actually, they told us something, you know, you must know about chapter 1 and then you can go into chapter 2 and the whole book. Just because the chapter 1 gives us some teaching according to what they are now, they were facing. So, first of all, in the first chapter 1, verse 6, they said, even though you are living in persecution, you must have great joy. Now, it is strange. Can you live in a situation that gives you a lot of trouble and you have great joy? Think about that. For Christian, maybe yes. For the world, no. So that's why when we read first one in chapter 2, the beginning of that verse, therefore, you see a word therefore in chapter 2, verse 1. What is the meaning of therefore? Just because the cause is in the chapter 1, right? Just because you are living under in his salvation, You are saved by His grace already. You are no more living in the secular world. You are now living in His kingdom. You are different. Sometimes we didn't see ourselves different. You know what I mean? Now, for example, I try to speak it more interesting. As we Chinese, you know, we Chinese is a very interesting race. I can say that. You can go everywhere and have a Chinatown. You know what I mean? We are now living in Canada, an English-speaking society. Now, don't blame on me. I live in Hong Kong, so I can speak like this. But lots of the old Chinese men, they came to Canada. They don't want to open themselves to speak in English to deal with the, you know, guai lo. Yeah, because we are young. We are human. They are guai. Okay. No. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. You are good, man. They just speak in their own language. They just stay in their own culture. They are living in Canada. Same case. We are now living in the kingdom, but we still live in the secular world. We are so Chinese. That's why we are in VCPC. You know what I mean? So sometimes we are having the same problem with the secular world. When they meet some of the, you know, times of trouble, they feel sorrow, they feel problem. Okay? We feel the same thing just because we live in the same situation as they live. Actually, we ought to be live in the kingdom of the Lord. So that's why in the first one, it said, therefore, just because you're living in the kingdom, you should not be so bitter. Even though you are facing some times of trouble, you should not be bitter. Just because the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? Just because the peace of Jesus get inside us, just because He Himself is our peace. We should not be bitter. Sometimes I like the Chinese translation. You are not just bitter inside. Sometimes your bitterness will change your character. You will be, you know, not just bitter, but this bitterness will hurt yourself emotionally, spiritually. Sometimes when you come to worship the Lord and you're still thinking, wow, those bitterness, those hurts, those troubles in you, and then you cannot so freely. When you come to the church, you still look very sad. You still look very desperate. You didn't have the joy inside you. If you can live in a situation that troubles you, but you have joy, that means you rely on Him and you have the Spirit inside you. Hallelujah. And you're really a Spirit-filled person. You are living in the kingdom. But not the secular world. Well, we are indeed living in a secular world. But we are also live in the kingdom of God. As for me, you look at me. Yeah, of course I'm a Hong Kong Chinese. But originally, I was created as the son of God. And I am the man of kingdom. Hallelujah. You are also the man and women of the kingdom. Of course, you are Canadian. Hallelujah. But the most basic, the very nature of you is the children of God. So, in this case, we are not just live in a secular world. We are live in a kingdom. So therefore, you must have joy. Just because the kingdom of God is not about what you eat, what you drink. It's about peace, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, right? So that's why you're not just living in a time of trouble. You're living in a cheerful heart, a joy of the Holy Spirit in the times of trials. So the second thing in the first chapter, Peter told his church, should live a holy life in persecution and suffering. Chapter 1, 15 to 16, please turn to your Bible. For you are called by the one who is holy, so you should be holy. You should be holy. And so, how can I be holy? Now, as a Chinese, sometimes we misunderstood this word holy as, you know, we should be live a moral life. We should be, you know, ethical. You know, look like a good man. But the terms holy, the word holy, is a sense that actually who God is, who God really is. So you can hardly describe who God is. So sometimes when we worship, we go, I stand in awe of you. I like this one, awe. There was a time I've been Hillsong Conference. This is my first time in Australia. You know, everywhere English has a, you know, different sayings of, you know, some different things. Just like, well, in Singapore, they will say, can you do that? Can. They will use can. I never heard, you know, some of the North Americans say that, can. I can do it, you know, can. Okay. In Australia, they say everything. Awesome. Is it? Yeah. You will say great. Good. They will say awesome. Everything is awesome. So I just learned from them. Awesome. So my profession in a university is, you know, studying in a religious studies. So what is the meaning of awe? Awesome. Awe. Awe is just a sound, no meaning. Oh. Holy has the same idea. You know nothing about holy, but that is holy. So that's why, oh. I stand in awe of you. Oh. You have a great surprise. You have a great reverence. You just stand before him and you can say nothing. Oh. And then you forget who yourself is. You forget everything. And then you just, you know, just stay in that condition. You're so surprised and you just want to be staying in that special environment. And then you will be like the environment and also like the one you are adore. So in the case, Peter said, you should be holy. That means you must stay in the presence of the Lord. Now, this thing, the first chapter 15 to 16 verse, actually is corresponding to chapter 2, 11 to 4, chapter 4, verse 6. Actually, this is the main context, the main content of this book. So finally, in the first chapter, Peter just urged the church, love one another sincerely. Even though you are living in a time of trouble, even though you have lots of things to think about, but you still need to love each other sincerely. You are not living by yourself. You are living in a community just because you know that Jesus is coming soon. You should be a good steward to all your spiritual gifts. And use your spiritual gift to love each one sincerely. This is the basic teaching of Peter. So you said, wow, I know everything about it. Every time I came to church, the pastors almost preached the same thing. I know all about that. Well, yes, we know all about that. But the problem is, why we should do that? Sometimes we just want to know how. But if you never think about the reason why we should do that, maybe sometimes we do one or two times, fine. Okay? But if you don't know about, you know, how valuable we live this kind of lifestyle, we will just, such as I say, sometimes we just come here not worshiping God. We just do our worship. You know what I mean? We just do our worship. We are not worshiping God. We are just singing some songs. We do our worship. We just give a prayer, but we are not praying. Just because we are doing something not inside of us. We just know how. We just want to show how, but we never know about why and how valuable we should do that. So that's why Peter wants us to know why, but not how. So the first chapter, the second chapter, the first 10 verse is talking about that. Let's go into chapter 2, 1 to 10. This passage introduces a very important concept. You should be identify yourself with Christ. Even though you live in a very bad situation, you are facing a lot of persecution, or maybe sometimes you find that, well, okay, I would love to live my old life. But you should know that you should identify with Christ, such as the first verse of chapter 2. Get rid of all of your bitterness. Why? Just because you are saved. You should not be bitter. You should not live like the one who is not have the life of Jesus in him. They can say a lot of things, such as this passage say that, well, they have bitterness, so they will pretend to be good. You know what I mean? Sometimes we come to church, we find that this guy is a bad guy. But I just want to pretend to be a Christian. You know? So you are so hypocrite. You know? Sometimes when we live in a time of trouble, we don't want to show that we are a Christian. So we pretend to be like them. It is not the glory of God. It is your problem. It is your thought. It is your living style. The old man inside you make you, you know, to pretend to be something. You no need to pretend to be something. You no need to pretend to be someone, for you are a child of God. Your life is valuable. So sometimes you try to pretend, but you cannot solve the problem either. So you see, is that, well, not just pretend to do something. You pretend to be good, but actually you are not so good inside you. You purposely do something good, but with a bad attitude inside you. You know what I mean? Now, this is so interesting just because bitterness cause you to pretend to be good, and then pretend to be good and makes you have, you know, some wrong thinking or maybe distorted thinking in your mind. And then after all, you cannot solve everything. And then you try to speak something bad. Maybe even you curse people, or maybe you say something bad to people, or maybe something not true about the people. So such as you can see, especially in our political world, there are lots of rumors, you see, right? Even though we pastor, we have lots of rumors. Recently, I have a very good friend of mine. Actually, he is a general superintendent in another country. Before that, I was invited to the country to, you know, minister to the Chinese church, just because I speak in Mandarin and Chinese. The general superintendent is speaking English. So he heard about me for lots of bad things for so many years, just because I hate those mega church. I really hate mega church. Yeah, I hate mega church. Of course, I didn't have a mega church, so I hate them. I can say I hate. That's why he said, somebody report to him, even though they take my video clip, send to him, and said, this guy hate mega church. And this pastor has a very big church, the biggest in that country. And so he heard about me so many bad things. And I heard about him so many bad things. Just because he is a big guy, so he killed all the small churches, even the small ministry, I hate that. So every time we just met, you know, in the last decades, we met, we just pretend to be good. Hi, Pastor. You know what I mean? And then every time he will ask, hey, Timothy, tell me, how many general council in Hong Kong? You know, this is very, how can I say, rude questions. That means how Hong Kong church spreads. You know, for so many years. But recently, praise the Lord, we have time to work together. And we just go out. I'm so thankful that he invited me to a dinner. And then we just sit down and we just have a very close, you know, fellowship. And then he told me that. He just told to the staff that, actually, I hate this guy very much. I heard a lot of bad things about him. But since recently, I just see what he has done and what we, you know, get together, I just found that they're all rumors. I just said to him, yes, me too. So, you know, we have a very good friendship since then. You know, sometimes if you cannot deal with some of the, you know, troubled people, you will speak a lot of bad things to destroy their credibility. You know what I mean? This is how the world lives. But this is not the life of Christian. But so sad is happening in church, in the kingdom. So how and why? Peter gives us an answer. Just because you are identify yourself with Jesus. So that's why you live a different lifestyle, a lifestyle of the kingdom. So first of all, the first point I want to share with you in this passage. Verse 2. Is that if you are a spiritual baby, you need to take spiritual milk, right? Craft the things you ought to craft. What means that? Like a newborn babies, craft pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. You must grow up in your salvation. How you grow up in your salvation? Milk. What is the meaning of spiritual milk? Yeah, in church we have lots of explanation on that. Maybe one of the explanation is read your Bible. I can say that, well, it is a very good interpretation, but not all. Just because at that time they have no Bible. They just have the Old Testament Bible, right? They have not such kind of things. But you see what he is talking about, newborn babies. It's a parable. Newborn babies. You are newborn babies. Hey, just think about it. What food can a newborn baby take? Congee? Biscuits? I like steak. I want to feed my newborn baby steak. Can you do that? No. Newborn baby can only take meals. Right? Christian, just like newborn babies. Newborn babies can only take milk. That means Christian can only take something they should take. Not everything. Well, the world have lots of good values, quote unquote good values, but it's not for you. Their ideology is tasty. Very good. You love that. You learn a lot in the university, but not for you. You know, I have a very, thanks to my parents, I have a very good education. I have my first degree, second degree, and then I got my PhD since 1986 to 2002. That means 14 or 15 years in the university. That means almost like from kindergarten to, you know, high school. So long time. Actually, I studied in theology. But you know, after I came into my ministry, I look back to my education, lots of problems. They taught us something, wow, it's really harmful to Christian life. Yeah, I can say that just because I am well educated. I look back, wow, those things are very terrible. You know, such as yesterday, I just talked to the congregation about, you know, how Hong Kong Christians deal with the human rights, just because you know the political situation in Hong Kong. So Christians want to protect every citizen. They should have a legal citizenship and human right. So that's why they protect every human right. You know what I mean? So everybody have their human right. Everybody have their right. So you must respect to every right. So what kind of rights you should respect as Christian? The answer is all. How far you should respect? I don't know. Just respect. So that's why so many strange things came to us. Christians should receive. Such as, you know, now I just talk about Hong Kong, not here. You know, recently in our legislative council, they rejected the LGBTQ bill. Okay. But in Hong Kong, most of the Christians, they accept that. Just because it is not about their rights, but about the political rights behind that. We just want to keep everybody can be protected from, you know, politics, something like that. We just want to make ourselves a way to protect ourselves. But who can protect us? Not the legal system, but the Lord. You know what I mean? We should respect them. We should respect those rights. But you must have your line. You must have your boundary to keep yourself to live in a kingdom. Praise the Lord. So, in the late 19th century, there was a Christian literature called In His Steps by Shelton. Do you know about this book? Or maybe I just talk about the subtitle of this book. You must know that. What Would Jesus Do? WWJD. Okay? In His Steps. Actually, somebody said, wow, this is too conservative. But for the first, you know, generation of Christian, they have no Bible. How they get the, you know, spiritual milk or some important Christian teaching from the Lord? They just do one thing. Meditate how Jesus do. Let's go to Hebrew chapter 12. Okay. Let's read it. 1, 2, 3. Okay, okay. Please read it in one accord. We are one church. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Nowadays, we go to church, we come to church. We just want a pastor to solve our every problem. We have a financial problem. We want the pastor to find some, you know, find some scripture and give us some, you know, some suggestion. Oh, okay, according to the Bible, we should do that, right? Today is, we're just like this. But in the first generation of Christian, how they live their life? Fix your eyes to your Lord Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Okay. It shows that I'm a Pentecostal preacher. Yeah. Sings every time. Okay. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. Just think about him. How he lived out his life according to God's will. You're not just reading from the Bible with no reference. Jesus is our only reference. He is our spiritual milk. When you turn your eyes upon Jesus, all the words in the Bible turn into living word. That is no more logos, but the rhema of God. Why we read Bible so boring? We just read the word, but not by the Spirit. We are not turning our eyes to Jesus. Jesus, how you live your life? And then you will find that Jesus said, according to the scripture, I will be crucified on the cross, right? According to the scripture, I am the stone thrown by the others, but the workman will know that it is very precious. And put me in the right position according to the scripture. According to the scripture, it's not just according to the scripture. Just because of Jesus, there are something according to the scripture. So that's why a Pentecostal church is a church of worship. That's why we turn our eyes to Jesus. We are not singing songs. We are just worshiping him and meditate on him. Set our eyes on him. I set my eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Right? Hallelujah. This is what we should do. Peter urged us to do so. Turn our eyes to Jesus. So that's why he said that. Verse 4 to 5. You see, Jesus is the cornerstone. And God chose him as the living stone. As you guys are also living stone. You know what I mean? Just think about Jesus and you will find out who you are. If he was rejected, how come you will not be accepted? You will be accepted. You will never be accepted by the world just because they crucify your Lord. You should be crucified. Hello? They reject him. You will be rejected. Nothing strange. Nothing strange. If you want to be like them, this is strange. This is weird. You know what I mean? But how you can live like that? Just because the joy itself is telling us the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's because the Spirit is moving among us, inside us, so we can live the same life as Jesus, for the same Spirit fill in our Lord Jesus as the Spirit dwell in us. That's why we should receive the Holy Spirit. We are Pentecostal church, man. We should pray like a Pentecostal. Sorry. I'm so excited. So I found my English is getting better. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Peter said that salvation is our goal. That means we should live like Christ. So in the first generation of Christians, especially in Acts chapter 13, the world called those believers as Christian. Now, I don't like this, you know, this term Christian. I really don't like. Just because according to the Bible, according to my Bible. Okay, I like Billy Graham. Thus says the Bible. I like that. So powerful. According to John 1st chapter, verse 12, said that whoever received Christ, he is the Son of God. Son of God is our identity, as Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? God become man, and make man can become the Son of God. This is a very famous theological thing, saying. We are the Son of God. So the world can call us Christian. It is not a good name. In Cantonese, Ye So Zai. In Cantonese, wow, this guy's, you know, Jesus gang. No good. I don't like the word Christian. Anyway, I like the identity I have. I am a son of God. You are not the daughter of God. You are also a son of God. Even you're a female, you are a son of God. Just because the son can get all the inheritance. Yeah, ladies had no this right. But Son of God, you will have the kingdom. And you will have all the benefits of the kingdom. You will have all the authority of the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's why Peter urged us to live like Christ. So, if Christ lived a suffering life, how come we can have a good life? If Christ's suffering finally make him resurrect from the dead, and you see the power, what the power he has is so great. That's why we should experience the journey of suffering and then receive the resurrect power from the Lord. If you never get through the suffering process, you will never see the resurrection power. Amen. You know, sometimes we go to church for, you know, just for fun. When we were young, we go for church for girls. Okay. Seriously. Okay. Or maybe some of you went church for this, okay, either. Maybe now this we should ask ourselves, why we stay here? Am I living a Christian life such as Christ is living? So sometimes when you are, you know, at your work, at your career, you will have some trouble, times of trouble, or maybe in your family, you just want your father or mother, mother-in-law, father-in-law to, you know, receive Jesus. Sometimes you hear lots of bad words, or sometimes, I don't know what you will face, but suffering is a must for Christian. You can see most of the ministers, if they didn't go across the time of suffering. They don't know how to serve the Lord better. They don't know how to work with the power of the Holy Spirit. Even though today I'm still learning, I hope you learn the same lesson with us. So that's why the second point I would love to preach to you is identifying with Christ. So this is our purpose. In 2:5, chapter 2, verse 5, is that, well, we are the living stone. We live with a purpose. You live with a purpose. Follow me. I have a purpose. I have a purpose. 1, 2, 3. As a temple of God built by the living stone, it has a purpose. To give holy offering, to give spiritual offering to the Lord, just because that's the spiritual temple. The temple itself had its purpose, such as you and I. Our life has a purpose. So, spiritual sacrifice accepted to the Lord, to God through Jesus Christ. Next. So, in Romans chapter 15 to 16, chapter 15, verse 16, 1, 2, 3. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, he gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We, Pentecostal Church, we, Assemblies of God, we believe in Jesus as the Savior. And also, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit as the witness of Jesus to preach the gospel. According to Peter, the same idea. We are a living temple. Give him holy sacrifice. That is, make those Gentiles become Christian. We cannot identify with the Gentile and then make them Christian. We must identify with Christ and then show the glory of God to those Gentiles. If we live like Gentiles, how come we live, we have a name of Christian? So, Peter said, you have a purpose. You're not just a living stone built as a house of God. You are also have a purpose, offering acceptable sacrifice that is holy. The Gentiles' life, they turn to Jesus. This is your purpose. So, Assemblies of God, please, Pentecostal Assemblies, please remember, we are an evangelicalistic and missional church. Not because of our name, but because of our identity. Because of our very essence, very nature. Finally, praise the Lord, finally. Next one. Hey, I tell you a bad news. When Paul write epistle of Ephesians, he had 4 finally. Okay. Study your Bible. You'll know that. Okay. Don't believe your pastor when he was not on the pulpit. Affirming the identity given by the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 9. We all know about this scripture. We are royal priesthood, right? According to the Protestant tradition, this is a good saying. All of us are priestly, are priests. So we have no such a distinction between clergy and laymen. We, everybody, are minister of the Lord. Okay? Amen. So, everybody here should serve the Lord. Right? not just amen, please do it. So simple, amen. When I was young, I learned English, amen and amen. Okay. Amen. Not just amen. Amen is, I truly believe that. I commit myself to that. That is amen. Amen? So weaker now. Okay. But to our Pentecostal church, this is not the only identity. In Acts chapter 2, 17, you know, a Canadian scholar, Roger Stronstad, you know him? He said, not just priesthood of all believers, but prophethood of all believers. Let's read the scripture. 1, 2, 3. If we believe in all believers a priesthood, that makes us a Protestant. But if we call ourselves Spirit-filled church, that we are no more Protestant, just because we are not just royal priesthood, we are prophets. Just because we are proclaiming, we are prophesying what God had put inside us. We have a right and we have an authority to tell the world what's the will of God. You know what I mean? Christian, your life is challenging. You're not just go out to say that, hey, believe in Jesus, he's crucified for us, and 3 days after he turned to life again. No, this is not gospel. This is too simple and even sometimes naive. I like that. The gospel itself is not just how Jesus died and how Jesus lived, but how Jesus lived in us. How to live a Christian life in this trouble, in these times of trouble, in these times of persecution. The Lord has spoken a lot of his message to us. It is not just for us, but for the people who are living in, you know, a bad situation, or maybe they have emotional problem, or maybe they have some, you know, people are living in a very bad situation nowadays. That day, you know, every time I came to Vancouver, this is my third time, I stay in, you know, a very good environment, such as Nora's house, or, you know, go to Auntie Mabel's home. It's good. 2 days before, Gary just, you know, drive me to some of the area. I saw some, how they call them? Gori fun guy, gori gori mea. Homeless. I saw some homeless. Actually, they have their own problem. Gospel should go to them, but some of the homeless inside are still living around us. That's why we call ourselves home church. Please don't be homeless church. This is prophetic, I think. My English is not good enough to say that. A home for spiritual homeless. We are prophetic people. We must keep our identity and make ourselves really a prophetic people. Please, when you worship him, I said, Lord, speak to me. Every time you go to your workplace, when you meet with your colleagues, Lord, speak to me about him. Lord, let me know how to pray for him. You know, sometimes we Christians did not live an accountability life. You know what I mean? You're not accountable. The Lord entrusts His gospel as well as His words inside us, but we seldom listen. We don't want to listen. Oh, Lord, I'm so busy today. No need to pray for them. I need somebody to pray for me. You know, you are sent to them to prophesy. You are sent to them to show the glory of God. I always talk to my church. I just ask them. I just make them to think about it. Every time in your office, if somebody have some problem, who will they go to? If they don't go to you, that means you are useless there. You are useless for the kingdom. If they are going to you just because they identify that they know that you can be their pastor. They know that you have some good advice to them from the Lord. Just pray that, Lord, make everybody come to me. I can tell you, if lots of people come to you, you will learn how to listen to the Lord. If nobody come to you, you need not to listen to anything. You just live your own lifestyle, that's good enough. But if the needs are wrong, they came to you, they come to you and say, hey, Ed, what should I do? Ed, I have this kind of problem. Well, I don't know what to do. And then you speak to them. I'll pray for you. And the Lord just show us. You know, He will know that the Lord is doing something for them. And He know that, they know that God loves them. Well, turn the persecution into the blessing. Praise the Lord. So, Revelation. Are you still okay with me? I'm so scared, you know. Elvis. Let's read this scripture. 1, 2, 3. Amen. You know, the word here in verse 6, to be a kingdom and priest. This is one of the translation. They use the word basileia of kingdom. But actually this word is, you know, can be translated as king. God just not make us a kingdom. God make us king. We are not the people of God. So, you know, it's the basic identity. But we are also the king called by God to have dominion in your office. You are king of the kingdom. So that means Jesus is the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Jesus is not the king of Donald Trump, Kanye, okay, see, okay. Okay, of course they're king, of course. But we are the king. We are kings of kingdom. We are called to have dominion. We are called to love the people as God loved them. We are called to give them all the benefit from the kingdom. So that's why we have all the inheritance. So we can also share with them all the goodness of God. You must know about that. And you must believe so. And you must live it out. For the world cannot give you this kind of benefit. You know, why we Hong Kong people, Hong Kong come to Canada? Better benefit here. You know what I mean? Why we were called from the world to the kingdom? Better benefit there. Amen? you have better benefit. And you have a right to share the benefit. You are called as king and priest. You are not just nobody. You are not just somebody. You are a child of God. You are a king. You are the prophet. You are the priest. No matter what, how the world change, it cannot change our identity. Just because the world can call you anything, but the Lord call you my son. Whatever the world calls you, identify as what you are. Even though you are in a very time of trouble, you are still the son of God. This morning, I suddenly have an idea. You know the Iran? Now is a Muslim country. Before 1979, actually, they have kings. They have king. Okay? The Muslim, you know, make the king run away to the States. Nowadays, the king is still in the States. He is escaped from the country, but he is still king. You know what I mean? Even though we are living in a times of trouble, or maybe in a secular world, but we are still king. Amen. Don't treat this truth into, you know, our weakness. If we call ourselves, we know ourselves are king, we speak the gospel with our boldness. We can pray for people with our boldness. We live in a different lifestyle. So, finally, the second time. Actually, it's final. 2:10, chapter 2:10, okay. Chapter 2:10. We are in the mercies of God. Hallelujah. Please remember that we are not just live by our own, but live under by His mercy. We are called to be His son. We live by His mercy. That's why we can keep our Christian lifestyle and values from the present world. Don't let the world give you a definition. Don't let the world to define you who you are. We are called by Him. Can worship team help us to give praise to the Lord? Let's raise on our feet and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we pray for the congregation, shall we? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I believe that I use all my English vocabulary already. So we need to pray in the Spirit. Amen. We are not restrained by the words and vocabulary. We pray in our spirit. And if you want Spirit dwell in you as the church of Peter, the churchmen of Peter, they receive the Holy Spirit so they can live in joy. They can live in confidence, even though in times of trouble. Don't say that, well, I am now have a good life. If you say that you have a good life just because you're living in the secular world, but not in the kingdom.